1876. The names of men, of kingdoms, and of cities that occur in the word, like the words of human speech, perish at the very threshold of the ascent, for these are earthly, corporeal, and material. And the souls that come into the other life successively put these things off, and those who come into heaven do so altogether. The angels retain not even the least idea of any person, nor consequently of his name. What Abram is, what Isaac and Jacob, they no longer know. They form an idea for themselves from the things that are represented and signified by them in the word. Names and words are to them like dust, or like scales, which fall off when they enter heaven. Hence it may be seen that by the names in the word nothing is signified except actual things. I have frequently spoken with angels about these matters, and have been fully instructed by them concerning the truth. The speech of spirits with one another is not a speech of words, but of ideas, such as are those of human thought without words, on which account it is the universal of all languages. But when they speak with a man, their speech falls into the words of the man's language, as before said, Numbers 1635, 1637, 1639. When I have spoken with spirits about this, it has been granted me to say that when they are conversing with one another, they cannot utter even one single word of human language, still less any name. Some of them, wondering at this, retired and tried. But returning, they said that they were not able to pronounce them, because the words were so grossly material that they were below their sphere, as they were formed from the sound of air, made articulate by the bodily organs, or by influx into such organs by an internal way leading to the organ of hearing. From this it may also be clearly seen that no part of an expression that is in the word can pass to spirits, still less to angelic spirits whose speech is still more universal. See number 1642. And least of all to the angels, see number 1643, with whom there remains nothing of the first ideas of spirits, but in place of them spiritual truths and celestial goods, which are varied in an ineffable manner in the least forms, continued and connected in a unanimous series, with the originals of representatives that are most pleasant and beautiful from the happiness of mutual love, and that are happy from the pleasantnesses and beauties, because they are inspired with the life of the Lord. 1877. The souls or spirits who are in the world of spirits, especially the wicked, retain at first the things which they had in their life of the body, that is, things earthly, corporeal, and worldly, and with them the principles which they had taken up. Among these spirits are those who are not willing to hear anything concerning the internal sense of the word, but only concerning the literal sense, which they carry so far as to believe that the 12 apostles are to sit upon the 12 thrones and to judge the 12 tribes of Israel, and also that none but the poor, the miserable, and those that have suffered persecutions can enter into heaven, when yet both the rich and the powerful, who have lived in charity and in faith in the Lord, are there. As such persons claim heaven for themselves on account of their merits, I have seen them running hither and thither, and wherever they went, they derided the things of the internal sense of the word, for the reason that these are contrary to their persuasions and cupidities, in that they desire to merit heaven and to be preferred before all others. But they are like the corrupt and noxious things that flow into the blood and pervade the veins and arteries and pollute the mass of the blood. 1878. There are also those who in the life of the body had despised the word. And there are those who had abused the things that are in the word to give point to a joke. There are those who had supposed that the word was of no account, but that it might serve to keep the common people in some restraint. There are those who had blasphemed the word, and there are those who had profaned it. The lot in the other life of all these persons is miserable, in accordance with the quality and degree of their contempt, derision, blasphemy, and profanation. For, as before said, the word is so holy in the heavens that it is itself, as it were, heaven to those who are there. And as there exists there a communion of the thoughts of all, such spirits cannot possibly be with them, but are separated. 1879. On one occasion while in bed, I was told that evil spirits were conspiring against me with the intention of suffocating me. But as I was safe and felt secure under the Lord's keeping, I disregarded the threats and went to sleep. But awaking in the middle of the night, I felt that I was not breathing of myself, but from heaven, for there was nothing of my own respiration, as I plainly perceived. It was then said that the band of conspirators was present, and that it was composed of those who hold in hatred the interior things of the word, that is, the very truths of faith, for these are the interiors of the word, and to thus hate them because they are contrary to their fallacies, persuasions, and cupidities, which the sense of the letter might be brought to support. After their attempt had failed, their leaders tried to enter into the viscera of my body, and to penetrate even to the heart, and to this also they were admitted. This was all the time perceived by manifest sensation, for one to whom the interiors of the spirit are opened gets at the same time a sensible perception of such things. But I was then introduced into a kind of celestial state, which was that I made no effort to repel these visitors, still less to avenge the injury. They then said that there was peace, but soon they were as if deprived of rationality, breathing out vengeance and striving to carry out their purpose, but in vain. They afterwards dispersed of themselves. 1880. Moreover, as regards spirits and angels in general, who all are human souls living after the death of the body, I may say here that they have much more exquisite senses than men, that is, sight, hearing, smell, and touch, but not taste. Spirits, however, are not able, and angels are still less able, to see anything that is in the world by their own sight, that is, by the sight of the spirit. For the light of the world or of the sun is to them as thick darkness, just in the same way as man by his sight, that is, by the sight of the body, cannot see anything that is in the other life. For the light of heaven or the Lord's celestial light is to man as thick darkness. But still, when the Lord pleases, spirits and angels can see the things in this world through the eyes of a man. But the Lord does not grant this except in the case of one whom he enables to speak with spirits and angels, and to be together with them. Spirits and angels have been permitted to see the things in this world through my eyes as plainly as I could see them myself, and also to hear men talking with me. It has sometimes happened that, to their great astonishment, some through me have seen their friends, whom they had had in the life of the body, just as they had seen them before. Some have also seen their married partners and their children, and have desired me to tell them that they were close by and saw them, and to give an account of their state in the other life. But I had been forbidden to tell them or reveal to them that they were seen in this way, and this partly for the reason that they would have called me insane, or would have thought such things to be delirious fancies of the mind. for I was well aware that although they might acknowledge it with the lips, they would not believe in heart in the existence of spirits, or that the dead are risen. When my interior sight was first opened, and through my eyes, spirits and angels saw the world and the things that are in it, they were so amazed that they called it the miracle of miracles, and they were affected with a new joy, in that in this way communication of earth with heaven was opened, and of heaven with earth. This delight lasted for months, but afterwards it became familiar, and now they do not wonder at all. I have been instructed that the spirits and angels who are present with other men do not in the slightest degree see the things of this world, but only perceive the thoughts and affections of those with whom they are. These things have been shown, that man was so created that while living on earth among men, he might at the same time also live in heaven among angels, and the converse, so that heaven and earth might be together, and might act as one, and that men might know what is going on in heaven, and angels what in the world. And therefore that when men depart this life, they would pass from the Lord's kingdom on earth into the Lord's kingdom in the heavens, not as into another kingdom, but as into the same as that in which they had been when living in the body. But in consequence of man's becoming so corporeal, he has closed heaven against himself. 1881. Spirits are exceedingly indignant, indeed are angry, when told that men do not believe that they see, that they hear, that they feel by the touch. They have said that surely men ought to know that without sense there is no life, and that the more exquisite the sense, the more excellent the life. Also, that the objects of their sense are suited to the excellence of their senses, and that the representatives which are from the Lord are real, for all the things that are in nature and the world are derived from them. See Numbers 16:32. In short, that their senses are much better and more excellent than those of men. Such are the words in which they express their indignation. 1882. There are two kinds of visions that are beyond the ordinary kind, into which I have been let solely that I might know what their nature is, and what is meant by what is read in the word, that men were withdrawn from the body, and that they were carried by the Spirit into another place. 1883. As regards the first, namely, being withdrawn from the body, the case is this. The man is brought into a certain state that is midway between sleep and wakefulness, and when he is in this state, he cannot know but that he is wholly awake. All his senses are as fully awake as in the highest wakefulness of the body. The sight, the hearing, and, wonderful to say, the touch, which is then more exquisite than it can ever be in the wakefulness of the body. In this state also spirits and angels have been seen to the very life, and also heard, and, wonderful to say, have been touched, and almost nothing of the body then intervened. This is the state of which it is said that they are withdrawn from the body, and that they do not know whether they are in the body or out of it. I have been let into this state only 3 or 4 times, merely that I might know how the case is with it, and that spirits and angels are in the enjoyment of every sense, even touch, in a form more delicate and more exquisite than that of the body. 1884. As regards the other kind of vision, being carried away by the Spirit into another place, it has been shown me by living experience what it is and how it is done, but only 2 or 3 times. One single experience I may mention. Walking through the streets of a city and through the country, and being at the same time also in conversation with spirits. I did not know but that I was wide awake, and saw as at other times, so that I walked on without mistake, and all the time being in vision, seeing groves, rivers, palaces, houses, men, and many other things. But after I had thus walked for hours, suddenly I was in the sight of the body, and became aware that I was in another place. Greatly amazed at this, I perceived that I had been in such a state as they were in, of whom it is said that they were led away by the Spirit into another place. For while this state lasts, there is no reflection concerning the way, even if it be many miles, nor is there reflection concerning the time, even if it be many hours or days, nor is there any feeling of fatigue. Moreover, the person is led through ways of which he has no knowledge, even to the appointed place. This took place that I might know that a man can be led by the Lord without his knowing whence and whither. 1885. These two kinds of visions, however, are extraordinary, and were shown me merely to the end that I might know their nature. But the things I have ordinarily seen are all those which, of the Lord's divine mercy, you may see related in this first part, and which are placed at the beginning and end of the several chapters. These are not visions, but things seen in the highest wakefulness of the body, and this for several years. This is the end of part one of the original Latin. This is the beginning of part two of the original Latin. Preface. In the first part of this work, 15 chapters of Genesis have been explained, and the things contained in the internal sense have been stated. And to each chapter there have been added things that of the Lord's divine mercy I have been permitted to see and hear in the world of spirits and in the heaven of angels. The second part now follows, and in this also similar things will be added to the several chapters. To this 16th chapter will be appended such things as relate to visions and dreams, including those of a prophetical character found in the Word. I know that few will believe that anyone can see things that exist in the other life, and bring therefrom any report respecting the state of souls after death, for few believe in the resurrection, and fewer of the learned do so than of the simple. With the lips indeed they say that they will rise again, because so to speak is according to the doctrine of their faith, but still they deny it in heart. Some go so far as to say openly that if anyone were to rise from the dead and they were to see, hear, and touch him, then they would believe. But if this were done, it would have to be done for each individual, and still no such person as denies in heart would be persuaded by it, for thousands of objections would flow in that would harden his heart in denial. Some, however, say that they believe that they will rise, but on the day of the last judgment. And respecting this, they have formed the opinion that all things in the visible world will then perish. And because that day has been expected in vain for so many centuries, they too are in doubt. But what is meant by the last judgment spoken of in the Word shall, of the Lord's divine mercy, be briefly told at the end of the 17th chapter. From this we may see what kind of people there are in the Christian world at this day. The Sadducees, of whom we read in Matthew 22, verse 23, etc., openly denied the resurrection, but did better than those at the present day, who say that they do not deny it because it is according to the doctrine of faith, as said above, and yet do deny in heart, so that they say what is contrary to what they believe, and believe what is contrary to what they say. But lest they should confirm themselves further in this false opinion, Of the Lord's divine mercy, I have been permitted, while still in the body in this world, to be in the spirit in the other life, for a man is a spirit clothed with a body, and to speak there with souls who had risen not long after their death, in fact, with nearly all with whom I had been acquainted in the life of the body, and who have died. For some years also I have been permitted to speak with spirits and angels every day, and to see amazing things there which have never come into anyone's idea, and this without any fallacious appearance. As very many say that they will believe if anyone comes to them from the other life, it will now be seen whether they will be persuaded against the hardness of their hearts. This I can aver, that those who come into the other life from the Christian world are the worst of all, hating the neighbor, hating faith, and denying the Lord. For in the other life, hearts speak, not mouths. Besides the fact that above all others are they addicted to adultery. And because heaven is thus beginning to be removed from those who are within the church, we can see that its last time is at hand, the truth of which I have been permitted to know with certainty. Concerning the internal sense of the word, what it is and what is its nature, see what has been said and shown in part first. Numbers 1 to 5, 64 to 66, 167, 605, 920, 937, 1143, 1224, 1404, 1405, 1408, 1409, 1502 at the end, 1540, 1659, 1756, especially 1767 to 1777, and 1869 to 1879, 1783, 1807, and in this part, numbers 1886 to 1889 inclusive. Chapter the 16th, 1886. This chapter treats of Hagar and Ishmael. But what is represented and signified in the internal sense by Hagar and Ishmael has not hitherto been known to anyone, nor could be, because the world, even the learned world, has hitherto supposed the histories of the word to be nothing but histories, and to involve nothing deeper. And although they have said that every jot is divinely inspired, they have meant nothing further than that the historical facts have been disclosed, and that something of a doctrinal nature that could be applied to the doctrine of faith may be deduced from them and be of use to both teachers and learners. And that because these have been divinely inspired, they have divine power in the mind, and work for good more than all other history. Regarded in themselves, however, historical matters affect but little towards man's amendment, and nothing at all for his eternal life, since in the other life they are forgotten. For what would it amount to there to know respecting the maid Hagar that she was given by Sarai to Abram, or to know about Ishmael, or even about Abram? Nothing but what belongs to the Lord and is from the Lord is necessary to souls in order that they may enter into heaven and enjoy its happiness, that is, eternal life. It is for the sake of these things that the word exists, and these are the things that are contained in its interiors. 1887. Inspiration implies that in every particular of the word, as well as in the historical as in the other parts, there are celestial things which are of love or good, and spiritual things which are of faith or truth, thus divine things. For that which is inspired by the Lord descends from him, and does so through the angelic heaven, and so through the world of spirits down to man, with whom it is presented such as it is in the letter, but in its first origin it is altogether different. In heaven there is never any worldly history, but all is representative of divine things, and there is no perception there of anything else, as may also be known from the fact that the things which are there are unutterable. Unless, therefore, the historical parts were representative of divine things, and in this way were celestial, they could not possibly be divinely inspired. The Word, as it exists in the heavens, can be known solely from the internal sense, for the internal sense is the Word of the Lord in the heavens. 1888. That the sense of the letter of the Word is representative of divine arcana, and that it is the receptacle and thus the repository of the Lord's celestial and spiritual things, may be illustrated by two examples. First, that by David is not meant David, but the Lord. Second, that the names signify nothing but actual things, and therefore it must be the same with all the rest of the Word. Concerning David, it is said in Ezekiel, "My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall dwell upon the land, they and their sons and their sons' sons, even to eternity. And David my servant shall be their prince to eternity." 37 verses 24 and 25. And in Hosea, "The sons of Israel shall return, and shall seek Yahuwah their God, and David their king." 3 verse 5. These things were written by the prophets after the time of David, and yet it is plainly said that he shall be their king and prince, from which all may see that in the internal sense it is the Lord who is meant by David. And the case is the same in all other passages, even those which are historical, where David is named. That the names of kingdoms, regions, cities, and men signify actual things may be clearly seen in the prophets. Take merely this example in Isaiah. "Thus said the Lord Yahweh Zebaoth, O my people, thou inhabitant of Zion, be not afraid of Asher. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff upon thee in the way of Egypt. Yahuwah of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the plague of Midian at the rock of Horeb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up in the way of Egypt. He shall come against Aiath, he shall pass over to Migron. At Mishmash shall he command his arms. They shall pass over Mabarah. Geba is a lodging place for us. Ramah shall tremble. Gibeah of Saul shall flee. Cry aloud with thy voice, O daughter of Galim. Hearken, O Laish. O thou poor Anathoth, Madmina shall wander. The inhabitants of Gebim shall gather themselves together. As yet there is a day for a stand at Nob. The mountain of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem, shall shake her hand. He shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a magnificent one." 10 verses 24, 26 to 34. Here there is scarcely anything but names, from which no meaning would appear unless all the names signified actual things. And if the mind were to abide in the names, this would never be acknowledged to be the word of the Lord. But who will believe that in the internal sense they all contain arcana of heaven, and that by them is described the state of those who are endeavoring to enter into the mysteries of faith by reasonings from scientifics, some special thing belonging to that state being described by each name. And that the meaning is that these reasonings are dispersed by the Lord by means of the celestial things of love and the spiritual things of faith. That the reasoning here treated of is signified by Asher may be clearly seen from what has already been shown concerning Asher, number 119, 1186. Also that scientifics are signified by Egypt, number 1164, 1165, 1462, which see and examine. The case is the same with all other names, and also with all the several words. 1889. In this chapter, it is the same with the names Abram, Sarai, Hagar, and Ishmael. And what they involve may be seen from the contents, and further on from the explanation of each name in its place. But these matters are of a nature that does not admit of easy explanation, for the subject treated of in connection with these names is the Lord's rational, and how it was conceived and born, and what its quality was before it was united to the Lord's internal, which was Yahuwah. The reason why this subject is not of easy explanation is that at this day it is not known what the internal man is, what the interior, and what the exterior. When the rational is spoken of, or the rational man, some idea can be formed of it. But when it is said that the rational is the intermediate between the internal and the external, few, if any, comprehend it. Yet as the subject here treated of in the internal sense is the Lord's rational man, and how it was conceived and born by the influx of the internal man into the external, and as it is these very matters that are involved in the historical facts stated concerning Abram, Hagar, and Ishmael, therefore, in order to prevent what we have to say in the following explanation from being utterly unintelligible, be it known that in every man there is an internal man, a rational man which is intermediate, and an external man, and that these are quite distinct from one another. Concerning this subject, see what was said above, number 978. Chapter 16, verse 1. And Sarai, Abram's wife, did not bear unto him. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, and her name was Hagar. 2. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, I pray, Yahuwah hath shut me up from bearing. Go in, I pray, unto my handmaid. It may be that I shall be built up by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. 3. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her handmaid, after 10 years of Abram's dwelling in the land of Canaan, and gave her to Abram, her man, for a woman to him. 4. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And she saw that she had conceived, and her mistress was despised in her eyes. 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I gave my handmaid unto thy bosom, and she saw that she conceived, and I am despised in her eyes. Yahuwah judge between me and thee. 6. And Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy handmaid is in thy hand. Do to her that which is good in thine eyes. And Sarai humbled her, and she fled from her face. 7. And the angel of Yahuwah found her by a fountain of waters in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. 8. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's handmaid, whence comest thou, and whither goest thou? And she said, From the face of Sarai my mistress am I fleeing. 9. And the angel of Yahuwah said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and humble thyself under her hands. 10. And the angel of Yahuwah said unto her, In multiplying I will multiply thy seed, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. 11. And the angel of Yahuwah said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because Yahuwah hath heard thine affliction. 12. And he will be a wild ass man. His hand shall be against all, and the hand of all against him, and he shall dwell over against the faces of all his brethren. 13. And she called the name of Yahuwah that was speaking unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here seen after him that seeth me? 14. Therefore she called the fountain of the living one who seeth me. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bared. 15. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son that Hagar bare Ishmael. 16. And Abram was a son of 80 years and 6 years when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. The contents. 1890. The subject treated of in this chapter is the Lord's first rational, which was conceived by the influx of the internal man into the affection of sciences of the external. The internal man is Abram. The affection of sciences in the external is Hagar the Egyptian handmaid. The rational thence derived is Ishmael. The nature of this rational is here described, and it is afterwards said, chapter 21, that it was expelled from the house after the Lord's divine rational, represented by Isaac, had been born. 1891. The Lord's first rational was conceived according to order, by the influx or conjunction of the internal man with the life of the affection of sciences belonging to the external. Verses 1 to 3. But as it was from the external man, its nature was such that it held intellectual truth in low esteem. Verse 4. On which account the Lord thought concerning the subjugation of it. Verses 5 to 9. And that when subjugated, it would become spiritual and celestial. Verses 10 and 11. What it would be if not subjugated is described, verse 12. The Lord's insight into the cause from his interior man, verses 13 and 14. The rational is thus described in respect to its quality, also the Lord's state when it originated, verses 15 and 16. The internal sense. 1892. Verse 1. And Sarai, Abram's wife, did not bear unto him. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, and her name was Hagar. Sarai, Abram's wife, did not bear unto him. Signifies that as yet there was no rational man. Sarai is truth adjoined to good. Abram is the Lord's internal man, which was Yahweh. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, signifies the affection of sciences. And her name was Hagar, signifies the life of the exterior or natural man. Sarai, Abram's wife, did not bear unto him. That this signifies that the rational man was not yet will be evident from what follows, where Isaac is treated of. For, as has been said, there are in every man an internal man, a rational man that is intermediate, and an external, which is properly called the natural man. With the Lord, these were represented by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The internal man by Abraham, the rational by Isaac, and the natural by Jacob. The internal man in the Lord was Yahweh himself, for he was conceived of Yahweh. On this account he so often called him his Father, and in the Word he is called the only begotten of God, and the only Son of God. The rational man is not born with man, but only the capacity for becoming rational, as all may see from the fact that newborn infants are not endowed with any reason, but become rational in process of time by means of things of sense external and internal, as they are imbued with sciences and cognitions. In children, indeed, there is an appearance of rationality, yet it is not rationality, but is only a kind of rudiment of it, which is known from the fact that reason belongs to adults and men of years. The rational man in the Lord is treated of in this chapter. The divine rational itself is represented by Isaac, but the first rational before it was made divine by Ishmael, and therefore that Sarai, Abram's wife, did not bear unto him, here signifies that hitherto there was no divine rational. As before said, the Lord was born as are other men, and as regards all that he drew from Mary the mother, he was like other men. And as the rational is formed by means of scientifics and cognitions, which enter through things of the external senses or those of the external man, therefore his first rational was born as with any other man. But as by his own power he made divine all the human things that appertain to him, so did he also make the rational divine. His first rational is described in this chapter, and also in chapter 21, where also Hagar and Ishmael are treated of, from verses 9 to 21. And it is said that Ishmael was expelled when Isaac grew up, by whom is represented the divine rational. 1894. That Sarai is truth adjoined to good has been said and shown before, number 1468 and elsewhere. As also that Abram is the Lord's internal man, which is Yahweh. The Lord's internal man, which is Yahweh, is called man, because no one is man except Yahweh alone. For man, in the genuine sense, signifies that essay from which man is. The essay itself from which man is the divine, consequently the celestial and the spiritual. Without the divine, celestial, and spiritual, there is nothing human in man, but only a sort of animal nature, such as there is in beasts. It is from the essay of Yahweh, or of the Lord, that every man is man, and from this also he is called man. The celestial which makes the man is that he loves the Lord and loves the neighbor. In this way is he man, because he is an image of the Lord, and because he has this from the Lord. Otherwise he is a wild beast. That Yahweh or the Lord is the only man, and that men have it from him that they are called men, also that one is more man than another, may be seen above. Number 49, 288, 477, 565. And the same also may be seen from the fact that Yahuwah, or the Lord, appeared as a man to the fathers of the most ancient church, and afterwards also to Abraham and to the prophets. And on this account also the Lord, after there was no man any longer on the earth, or no longer anything celestial and spiritual among men, deigned to assume the human nature by being born as are other men, and to make that nature divine. And in this way also he is the only man. Besides, the universal heaven presents before the Lord the image of a man, because it presents himself. From this, heaven is called the grand man, and this especially from the fact that the Lord there is all in all. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian. That this signifies the affection of sciences is evident from the signification of a handmaid and from the signification of Egypt. Sarai, who was the mistress or lady, represents and signifies truth adjoined to good, as already said. Truth adjoined to good is intellectual truth in the genuine sense, but rational truth is beneath this and therefore is lower. And this rational truth is born from sciences and cognitions, vivified by the affection that corresponds to them. And this affection, being of the exterior man, ought to serve the intellectual truth that appertains to the inmost man, as a handmaid serves her lady, or a household servant her mistress. And therefore this affection is what is represented and signified by the handmaid Hagar. How these things stand cannot well be stated to the apprehension, for it must first be known what intellectual truth in the genuine sense is, and also how the rational is born, namely from the internal man as a father, and from the exterior or natural man as a mother. For without the conjunction of these two, nothing rational can possibly come forth. The rational is not born, as is supposed, of sciences and cognitions, but of the affection of these sciences and cognitions, as may be seen from the mere fact that no one can ever become rational unless some delight or affection of these sciences and cognitions aspires thereto. The affection is the maternal life itself. And the celestial and spiritual itself, in the affection, is the paternal life. Therefore, in proportion to the affection, and in accordance with the quality of the affection, in the same proportion and in the same quality, does the man become rational. In themselves, these scientifics and cognitions are nothing but dead things, or instrumental causes, which are vivified by the life of affection. And such is the conception of the rational man in everyone. The reason why the handmaid was an Egyptian, and the reason why this fact is stated, is that Egypt signifies sciences, as before shown. Number 1164, 1165, 1186, 1462. And her name was Hagar. That this signifies the life of the exterior or natural man may be seen from what has been said, and also from the meaning of Hagar, which is a stranger or sojourner. Strangers represented those who were to be instructed, and sojourning represented instruction and also rules of life, as shown above, number 1463. When anyone's name is stated in the word, as here that her name was Hagar, it signifies that something is involved in the name to which attention should be given. For to call by name means to know a person's quality. as before shown, number 144, 145, 340. There is not a single syllable in the word without a reason, or without a signification in the internal sense of some actual thing. 1897, verse 2. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, I pray, Yahuwah hath shut me up from bearing. Go, and I pray unto my handmaid. It may be that I shall be built up by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Sarai said unto Abram, signifies that it was so perceived. Behold, I pray, Yahuwah hath shut me up from bearing, signifies the state before the interior or divine rational man was born. Go in, I pray, unto my handmaid, signifies conjunction with the exterior man. It may be that I shall be built up by her, signifies that in this way the rational could be born. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai, signifies that it could not be done in any other way. 1898. Sarai said unto Abram, that this signifies that it was so perceived is evident from the signification of Sarai and of Abram, namely that Sarai is truth adjoined to good, and Abram is the internal man, and therefore that Sarai said unto Abram in the internal sense cannot signify any conversation but perception. The Lord's perception at that time was from truth adjoined to good, which dictated to him how the case was. There is something similar with a celestial man who receives perception, for there is something of truth adjoined to good which dictates. Afterwards, there is good from which or through which the truth is perceived. That to say, in the internal sense, signifies to perceive, may be seen above. Number 1791, 1815, 1819, 1822. 1899. Behold, I pray, Yahuwah hath shut me up from bearing. That this signifies the state before the interior or divine rational man was born is evident from what has already been said about the conception and birth of the rational man, namely that the Lord's divine rational man is represented by Isaac, but as first rational man, which was to become divine, by Ishmael. In order that these things might be represented, Sarai remained so long barren, even unto Ishmael had become a lad, spoken of in chapter 21, on which account it is here said that Yahuwah shut her up from bearing. 1900. Go in, I pray, unto my handmaid. That this signifies conjunction with the exterior man is also evident from what has been said before, namely that man's rational is conceived and born of the internal man as a father and of the exterior man as a mother. Man's very life is from the internal man, which cannot have communication with the external except a most obscure communication, until the receiving vessels that are of the memory have been formed, which is effected by means of cognitions and sciences. The influx of the internal man goes into the cognitions and scientifics of the exterior man, affection being the means. Meanwhile, before there are these cognitions, there is indeed a communication, but through affections alone, by which the external man is governed. But from this there exist only the most general motions and certain appetites, also certain blind inclinations, such as show themselves in infants. But this life becomes by degrees more distinct in proportion as the vessels of the memory are formed by means of cognitions, and the vessels of the interior memory by means of rational things. As these vessels are formed and are arranged in series, and indeed in such series that they mutually regard one another, comparatively like relationships by blood and by marriage, or like societies and families, thereby is perfected the correspondence of the external man with the internal. And still better is this done by means of rational things, which are intermediate. But still there is a want of congruity, unless the cognitions by which the vessels are formed are truths. For the celestial and spiritual things of the internal man find no correspondence for themselves except in truths. These are the genuine vessels in the organic forms of each memory, and into which the celestial things of love and the spiritual things of faith can be fitted. For they are there arranged by the Lord according to the idea and image of the societies of heaven or of his kingdom, insomuch that the man becomes, in least form, a heaven or a kingdom of the Lord. Also the minds of those who are in the celestial things of love and the spiritual things of faith are so called in the word. But these things have been said for those who love to think very deeply. It may be that I shall be built up by her. That this signifies that in this way the rational could be born may be seen from the signification of being built up when predicated of generation, and thus without explanation. By Sarai, as has been said, is signified intellectual truth which has been adjoined as a wife to good. Intellectual truth, which pertains to the inmost, is altogether barren, or like a childless mother, when as yet there is not any rational into which and through which it may inflow. For without the rational as a medium, intellectual truth cannot inflow with any truth into the exterior man, as may be seen from the case of little children, who can know nothing whatever of truth until they have been imbued with cognitions. But, as before said, the better and more perfectly they are imbued with cognitions, so much the better and more perfectly can intellectual truth, which pertains to the inmost or to good, be communicated. This intellectual truth, represented by Sarai, is the spiritual itself which flows in through heaven, and this by an internal way and with every man. And it continually meets the cognitions that are insinuated by means of the things of sense and are implanted in the memory. Man is not aware of this intellectual truth because it is too pure to be perceived by a general idea. It is like a kind of light that illuminates the mind and confers the faculty of knowing, thinking, and understanding. As the rational cannot come into existence except by means of the influx of the intellectual truth represented by Sarai, it stands related to this truth as a sun. When the rational is being formed from truths that have been adjoined to good, and still more when it is being formed from the goods from which are truths, it is then a genuine sun. Before this, it is indeed acknowledged as a sun, yet not as a genuine sun, but as coming from a handmaid. And still it is adopted, which is the reason why it is here said that she might be built up by her.